This is Second Chance Christmas with the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra and Chorus, Jerry Flynn conductor, and narrator Stuart Culpepper. The program is brought to you by this station, Surfer Books and Music, publishers of original symphonic stories for families and children's education at SIRFIRBooksandMusic.com, and PRI, Public Radio International.
Welcome to the Second Chance Music Hall. I'm Stuart, the stage manager. I'd like to tell you the story of how our annual holiday concerts came about. Didn't always have them, you know. In fact, this grand old music hall went 30 Christmas Eves with nary a peep. All because, well, those were sad times. But now, music and happiness fill the hall every year. It's the law. I was there when they made it so. I saw it in the books myself. Funny thing, our destiny changed in the most positive way just a few years back, starting late on a dreary Christmas Eve day. But I remember it like it was yesterday. I can still see it, hear it, feel it. A bitter wind roared from the north and east. It ripped at the skin of each human and beast. The full force of winter, like a heavy ice cape, fell hard on the land, and none could escape. West Virginia storms can smother, but that Christmas Eve we had snow like no other. Life in the mountains came to a deadlock. The cold froze the rivers and stopped every clock. Lost to the world in the blustery advance was this tiny place we call home, Second Chance. So small was our village, believe it or not, we were known as the town even Santa forgot. Second Chance, an odd name, you might say. Not so for the immigrants who came here to stay. A mining boom town for 100 years, a haven for dreams and newfound careers. Then fate intervened and prospects unraveled. We veered down a road unhappily traveled. A mine caved in and snuffed many lives, reshaped the town's future and cut down its size. But rather than dwell on what stole our joy, what darkened the lives of each girl and each boy, I prefer to recall what turned cries into laughter. It's those wonderful moments of change I am after. So late on that day, as the storm reached its peak, some musicians rolled in looking weary and weak. Their holiday concert at Carnegie Hall was canceled, alas, with the blinding snowfall. The roads to New York would be blocked for the night, so the traveling band paused to measure their plight. This drafty old music hall offered retreat, where at least there was light, and a slight hint of heat. The troupe came in at the hand of our mayor.
Come in.
Though tired and grim, she welcomed each player.
Welcome.
The mayor bore sadness that showed in her step a decades-old duty had stolen her pep.
This way.
She slowly explained all the stores were closed and neither could food be found, she supposed.
My people are poor and accepted with grace. They have little else than their pride to embrace.
Then she turned to bid them good night. She recited the rule to the guests in her sight.
Do as you wish, and all within reason, but no music today. Not one note this season.
The musician's boss, a conductor by trade, stopped short when the curious statement was made. A more positive man you'll never find, yet the mayor's words set hard in his mind. Since the strange requirement seemed in excess, the conductor followed with his own address.
Without a hotel of some size or merit, we'll follow your rule, that's if we can bear it. We're an orchestra, you see, and fine music we play. Music may be the best way for passing the day.
The hesitant mayor visibly winced, then warned them again, and her words were not minced.
No!
A long way from home, neither here nor there, the highbrow musicians fell low in despair. Despite playing games that were silly and clever, they sensed all the signs of the worst Christmas ever. That's when the first magic moment occurred. That sliver of light to clear something blurred. Rejecting the words of the mayor of the town, a section of brass made a deep, brassy sound. Just as I thought that this moment would pass, the strings all responded in turn with the brass. They echoed the melody extravaganza with rollicking harmonies for each bar and stanza. When the sections had finished amid the hall rubble, one wondered if breaking the rule would be trouble.
How could it be so? This town must be sick. Everyone loves our holiday music.
They looked to their leader to see what he thought. He questioned, too, what this action had wrought. He shivered and finally drew his baton.
We are what we are, and this show will go on.
The orchestra quickly took up their places. The conductor prepared to put them through their paces. At once, the temperature rose with their spirit.
With the snow and fierce wind, who else will hear it? Come on, everybody play!
That's it.
unseen in the shadows, was one local lad, a troubled, lost soul who wasn't half bad. People ignored this mischievous tyke, so he came and he went, and he did what he liked. And he liked what he heard, whatever it was. Who cared that the rule was broken? Because the sounds that were made were entirely new, at least to this boy, who was 10 years plus two.
I'm hungry,
said someone way back in the group.
I'd settle for bread and some butter or soup.
And just as the others nodded consent, the young boy moved off and slipped as he went. The ominous noise made suddenly clear that someone was watching, or something was near. The orchestra paused for each creak and each crack to see if the spy or a ghost would come back. But buildings this old make sounds of their own. They shift and settle and quite often moan. So back to their concert the orchestra sprang and cued in a chorus that nervously sang... In the wings made the orchestra jump. The screech of a cat made musician hearts thump. Was it the mayor again? Or some sleepy old troll? Would their music cause problems? Or cost a stiff toll.
Who's there?
It was a quivering chorister's call, and it echoed throughout this cavernous hall. Stepping on stage, to their collective surprise, came the company dancers in fun elf disguise.
What?
Said a dancer, confused by their stares.
It's freezing backstage, and cold satin just tears. Sheesh.
The conductor now knew the alarm was false, so he summoned his troupe to strike up a waltz.
Ah, come on. Let's dance to stay warm.
Thank you.
You're listening to Second Chance Christmas with the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra and Chorus, Jerry Flint conductor, narrator Stuart Culpepper, from PRI, Public Radio International. We return to Second Chance Christmas with the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra and Chorus, Jerry Flint conductor, narrator Stuart Culpepper, from PRI, Public Radio International.
When the waltz sent warm dancers off to the wings, the aisles were still twirling with flitters and flings. Second Chance children, brought in by the boy, continued to dance in a trance of pure joy.
We're not alone,
the conductor announced. He laughed at the kids as they jiggled and bounced. One by one, they all bowed toward the curtain, then ran out of sight to a night most uncertain. To lure their new guests from their best hiding places, the troupe shared a thought which showed on their faces. A holiday favorite just might do the trick. A jingle bell anthem is what they would pick. Came back, first by twos, and then more. Their voices rang out off the ceiling and floor. At that fine moment, no one could surmise that lives would be changed by the next bright sunrise. The darkest of corners in this music hall took on a warm yellow glow. Every wall, long faces turned up. And wouldn't you know, the troupe chose to play on and forget all the snow. Thank you. children applauded and went out the back, but quickly returned to the stage with a sack. To great surprise, they had prepared a small meal, enough to make some in the orchestra squeal. They brought with them bread, some cheese and some fruit, some butter and raspberry jelly to boot. As poor as these children undoubtedly were, they had found what they could, and they shared to be sure. Those few musicians still brooding that date took finger food treats and happily ate. The holiday spirit swept through their ranks. The players played on as a way to give thanks.
Thank you.
Until this occasion, the kids in the town knew nothing of orchestral music's renown. They knew only fiddles and folk songs and hymns, sung in a church or in their school gyms. The music hall's heyday, so long in the past, left nothing for young ones to hear and hold fast. The little boy urged them.
Play more! Please begin! And don't ever stop! Not ever again!
The conductor nodded, and indeed he complied, at least for the time that the storm swirled outside.
We'll play any music that you desire, including arrangements best sung by a choir.
The orchestra boomed to the children's delight. Symphonies, carols into the night, ignoring the rule, filled the group with great joy. Hope came in song, not a doll or new toy.
You're listening to Second Chance Christmas with the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra and Chorus, Jerry Flint conductor, narrator Stuart Culpepper, from PRI, Public Radio International. We return to Second Chance Christmas with the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra and Chorus. Jerry Flint conductor, narrator Stuart Culpepper, from PRI, Public Radio International.
If only a tragedy deep in a mine hadn't broken our hearts, then our Christmas would shine. Lights red and green, tinsel of gold, and holiday stories reread and retold. Every note, the night grew in stature.
Now woodwinds, now strings,
called the waving bandmaster. Happiness found every singer and player until someone yelled,
"Better hide, it's the mayor!"
She entered as if walking on fragile hen's eggs, up high on her tiptoes and with rubbery legs. Suspicious that someone had broken his word, she asked,
"Was that music? Music I heard?"
No.
The conductor struggled to say.
"We're just cleaning up from this mess of a day."
Not sure if she had been helped or been plied, she twisted her face, then limped back outside. The mayor away, the basses stopped quaking. The strings and horns resumed music-making, and mining town children, from their toes to their fingers, were brave, nimble dancers and glowing-faced singers.
Thank you.
The night drove toward morning, and with each request, the orchestra rallied to meet every test. From Bach to Beethoven, Copland to Strauss, and Frosty the Snowman brought down the house. Then right in mid-phrase of the sad, melting verse, the mayor came back, and her voice was quite terse.
Who, in the name of creation, allowed these children to dance and to sing right out loud?
The children retreated as those words were spoken. They dove through each window and door that was broken, all except one who stood in his place, the one little boy. With no shame on his face.
It's been 30 years since the mining collapsed. Like most our men in deadly coal traps. We've paid our respects with dark Christmas eves. Now we want carols and bright Christmas trees.
The mayor gave pause and looked at the boy. Oh, how this one had the gift to annoy. If anyone would, then he'd break the rule. This ill-mannered Irishman's son was a fool. She feigned thoughtful eyes and forced a wry smile, but knew what to do. She had known all the while. She marched off the stage and at midnight's hour turned out the lights. She cut all the power. You may think this blackout is where it all ends. Instead, at this standoff, the bleak story bends, for fortunes are changed in the blink of an eye, and some things no human on earth can deny. The kids reappeared with candles aglow and passed them around to let the mayor know that she could not stop them, try as she might, not when music revived their lives that cold night. So high on this mountain, with past winter's strife, our spirit had died and then flickered to life. From darkness, the children had found a new light. From memory, the orchestra played Silent Night.
Thank you.
The mayor was speechless, her mouth a thin frown. She searched for the right words to steer this old town. Her eyes fixed on nothing, her mind racing back. She thought of the day when our town's fate turned black. For too many years, the rule had been clear. Her judgment and reason both clouded by tears. The mayor's own family mourned three fathers lost. She made grieving official. But at what cost? Before she could speak, the stage became bright. Though no human fingers had switched on a light, someone or something had cleaned up the mess. How this had happened was anyone's guess. Then a glad sound floated in from the wings. Its stout ho 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 could mean only one thing. That jolly old soul and his nine flying deer had come to the hall. Yes, St. Nicholas was here. He had found us, flown down to the spot, the town that the world, even Santa, forgot. He had heard Second Chance by its music and laughter, and fondly remembered the place he was after. Thanks to musicians lost in a storm, the cold hand of history turned suddenly warm. The mayor, so moved by all that she saw, made holiday music required by law. Now, Second Chance Christmas Eve, no one should miss. And the glorious sound of its music, pure bliss. That orchestra won't go to New York this night. They always return. And that seems just right.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Been listening to Second Chance Christmas with the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra and Chorus, Jerry Flynn conductor, and narrator Stuart Culpepper. The program is brought to you by this station, Surfer Books and Music, publishers of original symphonic stories for families and children's education at SIRFIRBooksandMusic.com and
PRI, Public Radio International.
He He was a wandering pilgrim who talked to the birds, the closest thing to a medieval rock star, a man so revered in his lifetime that people tore at his clothes, desperate to touch a living saint. Today, St. Francis of Assisi is admired by both Christians and atheists. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time, under the best of our knowledge, we'll follow in the footsteps of St. Francis. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 on WILL Urbana. AM 580 has a listener comment line. If you'd like to comment on something you hear on the Information Advantage, call 217-333-0853 and leave a message. That's 217-333-0853.